You know, I've said to you before, some of these Old Testament passages, they are wonderful stories of our faith and the way God has worked in and through history. But some of them make me uncomfortable. I have a problem, and maybe it's just me, but I have a problem with all the violence in this scripture passage. We have a lot of people that get killed, and they're going to get killed. And that bugs me. Maybe it's just me. But when I read scripture, I can't help but read it through the lens of 1 John that says, God is love, let us love one another. Or through the eyes of Jesus who said, love your enemy. And if someone strike you on one cheek, turn the other one. If the bully wants to take your coat, then give him your shirt too. So when I, through those passages, see these Old Testament passages, they make me uncomfortable. Just wanted to say that. I know I'm supposed to have all the answers, but I don't. They make me uncomfortable. So, we're not going to talk about the violence today. Because I don't want to. But I want to talk about Elijah. Elijah the Tishbite. That part's not important, I just like saying Tishbite. Elijah was a prophet of God. Now, let me give you a little backstory. Remember last week we talked about Solomon building the temple, right? Everybody knows King Solomon because he's wise. He chopped a baby in half, you know, all that stuff. We know King Solomon, and he was built the temple of the Lord, but maybe got a little bit out of focus and maybe a little bit more about him than about God. And we see that as he progresses in his reign, he loses his worship with God and begins to worship idols. And through his actions, sets the stage for a civil war which will split that country in half. So for the next generations, there'll be fighting among the Israelites, and there'll be rival kingdoms in the north and in the south. And slowly but surely, they pull away from the dynasty and the lineage of David to people who like to worship other gods. Till it gets to the point of Ahab, who becomes king. He not only allows the worship of other gods, he marries Jezebel. Now, I'm sure everybody's heard of Jezebel. But he marries Jezebel, and she is a worshiper of Baal. And so, as part of this whole thing, she brings 300 prophets of Baal with her to the kingdom. And slowly but surely, the people of God kind of like the Baal thing better than the Jehovah thing, and they start worshiping those idols. Well, then there comes this big drought. And we all know when circumstances get awful, people turn to God, right? I mean, that's human nature. That's what we do. Well, then Elisha says, here's what I want to do. We want to find out whose God is really God. So he goes to Mount Carmel, invites all 300 of the Baal prophets to come up there to the top of the mountain, and he says, here, let's have a good old-fashioned Old West showdown. And we're going to build an altar, and if you can make your God light the fire, then your God is God. So they build all this wood platform up, they get all of the things there, they get the sacrificial bull on top, and then they begin to pray. And they dance in circles, and they chant, and they cut themselves with knives, and they scream, and they holler. And Elijah just stands to the side and starts trash talking. And he says, so, where is your God? Is he sleeping? And there's actually, you wouldn't get this from the English translation, but there's actually a Hebrew euphemism when it says, did your God wander off? That's their euphemism for having to go to the bathroom. So he's asking them, taunting them, says, where's your God? Is he on a bathroom break? What's the matter? Where is he? So they go about this all day long, and finally by the end of the day, they're all spent, and they're just laid out and bleeding and hurting and tired. And Elijah says, you done? And they said, yes. And he said, okay, here's what we do. I want you to get 4 pitchers, big jars of water, and dump them on the wood. Do that 4 times. Get more water. And then Elijah says, okay, you ready? All right, God, do your thing. And God creates fire and consumes the sacrifice. And Elijah says, next, God's going to make it rain and the drought's going to end. So Elijah's on top of the world. He has just shown everyone that he is God. I mean, he's dancing in the end zone at this point, and he's doing a little twist, and he's throwing the football down. He's doing all the stuff to celebrate. But then what happens is the people didn't like his celebration in the end zone, especially Jezebel. And Jezebel said, hey, don't make fun of my God. Well, and the other thing, too, is he did kill all 300 of the Baal prophets, but we weren't going to talk about the violence part. So he killed all of her prophets she brought with her. And she said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to put a bounty on your head. And so Elijah quite literally runs. Runs out in the desert, gets out there a couple of days worth of running in the desert, finds a broom tree, which I've always wanted to know what that really looks like, and lays down under it and says, God, I want to die. He has a big old pity party. He says, God, I've been zealous for you. I've done everything I was supposed to do. I have not only worshiped you, I've not only stayed faithful to you, but I've tried to bring others in and make them faithful. I have done everything you've asked, and I'm on the run because this crazy woman wants to kill me. Why don't you just take me now? I'm done. So God sends a messenger with some food and water. He says, eat. You got more to do. You got a long journey ahead of you. And then you got to train Elisha. You got to send the next generation out to do the rest of the job. You're not done yet. And I haven't forgotten about you. Basically, God said, suck it up and quit having a pity party. You know, I had personally my own Elijah moment once. Many of you know I was the executive for the children's home for many years. And at the end of 5 years, I was spent. I was exhausted. I was burned out. I wasn't sure that I could hear God anymore. I wasn't sure about anything. I felt abandoned by my board. I felt like no one cared what poor Kevin was doing. They didn't care he was traveling every other weekend away from home and his family. They didn't care about me. And so I felt sorry for myself. And I was tired. And I didn't crawl under a broom tree and ask to die, but I did walk away like Elijah. And said, I'd had enough. Can't do it anymore, God. I'm walking away. I decided that if I was going to have to do the things I was doing and be an administrator instead of a pastor, I was going to do it somewhere where I made more money. I may not be appreciated in business, but at least I had a bigger paycheck. But I felt sorry for myself, just like Elijah. About a year after this, I was in my office, normal day of business going on, and the phone rang. Rich Sugar called me. Now, I didn't know Rich very well at the time. He called me and said, haven't seen you at Presbytery in a while. Just want to check up on you. Can we have lunch? I said, sure. So he called me. First person to reach out to me at this time. He did it two more times. I look at that moment on Rich as being that angel from the Lord who brought Elijah a little bit of water, a little bit of food. I didn't need real water, real food. But I needed to know that I was loved. I needed to know that somebody cared about me. Somebody could reach through my own little pity party I was having and say, God loves you. I think the lessons we take away from this story are many. But I think one of the important things to know about this Elijah story, it's important to recognize that no matter how you feel God's not done with you yet. There are still things God wants you to do, and God will send you what you need to get it done. Sometimes, like Elijah, your job is to train the next generation, to set forth Elisha on Elisha's path. Sometimes our job is to do what we can to help the next ones come forward. And sometimes our job is to be that little angel that reaches out to those of us who are struggling. Because it doesn't take much. Simple phone call, touching base, to get us all back on track. Because that's all Elijah needed. He just wanted to hear from God. He just wanted to know that he was on the right track. Or if he wasn't, where to go next. So, despite all the violence in this passage, there are some great messages for our church, the church universal, to remember when someone's not there, we need to look for them, to find out why they're not here. And you need to cut yourself some slack from time to time, because, all right, you may end up in a little pity party, but God's still not done with you yet. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.